Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns. Thank you for joining me today, Thursday, February 8th, as we approach Lent coming next week. So this weekend is actually the last week of ordinary time before Lent. And is that so fast? It's amazing. And so, as you know, before we get into the whole program, let's start off by praying the Our Father together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, so as you know, with this program, any of you devoted listeners, that we like to go over the readings for this coming weekend, and also we like to start off with some quotes from different saints. And so the topic that we're going to be talking about as far as today is about leprosy and what does that symbolize and how did the Jews back in that time how did they deal with this? So what do we do today? And we can compare how people had leprosy then with how we have different diseases here, such as like when we had COVID, or we're still having another bout of that. How do we deal with it in light of Scripture? And what does it mean for us today regarding our spiritual life? So hang on, and hopefully you'll stay for the whole hour as we go through the different quotes and the different readings in the gospel and hear the commentaries from the different saints. And I'll add a little bit of my commentary as well. All right, so I'm going to go over the book now called The Wisdom of the Saints, 365 Days of Inspiration by Matthew Kelly and his apostolate called DynamicCatholic.com. And I'm going to go over the quotes starting from the beginning of the week, February 5th, through the 11th. And I'm just going to choose a few of them that might be interesting to you all. So the quote that I'm going to share here is from February 5th, Monday, regarding friendship. And it's from St. John Bosco. It starts off by saying, "Fly from bad companions, as from the bite of a poisonous snake. If you keep good companions, I can assure you that you will one day rejoice with the blessed in heaven. Whereas, if you keep with those who are bad, you will become bad yourself, and you will be in danger of losing your soul." Isn't that wise advice from St. John Bosco? Now, of course, he was talking to a lot of the orphan boys, but it still applies to us even today, right? You can tell, there's a saying, I can't remember the exact quote, but you can tell what type of person a particular person is by the company he keeps. So if you keep company with good people, most likely you will be good yourself. And at the same time, if you keep company with people who have bad behavior, you might actually start following their behavior, and their bad behavior will rub off on you. Similarly to like the skin disease of leprosy. If a person hangs around people with leprosy and they don't have any, odds are they will become infected with this contagious disease. And one example, as you might know, is St. Damian of Molokai. And he, when he went to the island of Hawaii, he was with the leper colony. He didn't get leprosy initially, but many years later, I don't know if it was 10 years later or 20 years, but it was sometime later that he did contract leprosy and died from it. So medically, yes, there are what you call latent forms of leprosy, where you can be infected and it's a latent in the sense that it's asleep and doesn't really show itself or manifest itself until many years later. And apparently he might have had this. And so this is where people, you know, when you look at leprosy, it actually is a great analogy for sin, that people may be around a lot of sinners thinking that they're not becoming sinful, but in time the seeds are planted there that it will grow into sin. Examples are from, you know, being around people who like to swear or curse or cuss. Sooner or later you develop those types of language just to fit in or the peer pressure, and the next thing you know, you might be saying the Lord's name in vain, which actually is a mortal sin. And that if you do that sin, which is a serious sin, and you do it of your own free will, and you don't stop, and you knowingly and willingly do it, then it most likely will qualify for a mortal sin, which you need to get confession for, and you can't receive communion in the state of mortal sin. So this is just, you know, it seems like a slight problem, you know, hanging around people who may swear a lot, but there has to be the word to the wise to beware. Now, just on a brief note, I think it's Psalm 1 or Psalm 2 that it talks about the Messiah, if I recall, where, you know, the Messiah would not be hanging around with sinners. And at the same time, what did Jesus do? He did hang around with sinners. However, there's a caveat to this, is Jesus himself gives further and deeper understanding to the Psalms, because the Pharisees and the scribes were looking at that psalm and think, well, how can this Jesus be the Messiah if he's hanging around people who are sinners? And in fact, if we recall in the gospel, how they would comment that Jesus is hanging around tax collectors, prostitutes, you know, those who drunkards and partygoers and such. And so how can this be the one that they're talking about in the Psalms? Well, Jesus helps clarify this, is that the physician is the one who needs to be with those who are sick, right? And so the same thing, the Lord is the spiritual physician, and he needs to be with those who are spiritually sick. And so that's the complete understanding as far as why Jesus was doing what he was doing. He wasn't going against the teachings in the Psalms, but he was actually fulfilling it and raising it up to a higher level. All right, so let's go on to another quote from this book called The Wisdom of the Saints. And this is directed towards anyone who is studying, or students, whether you are an adult learner going back to school, or you may be someone in high school or college or grad school or some professional school. It says a quote about study from St. Vincent Ferrer, and he was a priest from the 1400s who was known to have the most miracles than any other saint. It was estimated that he did approximately 60,000 miracles in his short lifetime, which translates into about 8 miracles a day, if you do the math. And if he didn't do a miracle that day, people would have thought, that's a miracle. Well, because he did about eight a day. And what he says here about study, he says, never begin or end your study but by prayer. Never begin or end your study but by prayer. So when you start to do your homework or ending your homework, say a prayer in thanksgiving for helping you study. And there's another saint. His name is Saint Jose Maria Escrivá, the founder of Opus Dei, which is Latin and means the work of God. He also says that an hour of study is an hour of prayer. But the thing is, you would have to have the intention, right? And that you're offering it up, your study, as a prayer. And so you want to make sure that you enjoin and you ask the Lord to help you in your studies so you can learn your profession or your diploma or your whatever certificate you're going for, a master's or doctorate, or whether it be just a high school diploma or a GED. You can transcend everything and make it holy and sanctify what you're doing by making a prayer of what you are studying. Here's another quote for February 8th today by Saint Thérèse Lisieux, also known as the Little Flower. She's a Carmelite saint and one of the four female doctors of the church. As some of you may know, there are many, many saints, thousands, if I'm not mistaken, but there are only 36 or 37 doctors of the church, and only four of them are female. And to be a doctor of the church doesn't mean you're a medical doctor or a PhD. What it means is that these particular saints did something extraordinary beyond what the regular saints did that we could learn from. And as far as the four female doctors, Therese was the third one. The first two was St. Teresa of Avila, Carmelite. The second one was the lay woman, virgin, Catherine of Siena. And then the third one, St. Therese of Lisieux. And the fourth one would be St. Hildegard of Bingen. Anyway, so here's a quote from St. Therese regarding joy. She says, a word or a smile is often enough to put fresh life in a despondent soul. A word or a smile is often enough to put fresh life in a despondent soul. You know, there are accounts where there might have been a person who was thinking of committing suicide. But just because a person smiled to that person who was thinking of committing suicide, that they changed their mind just by the fact of smiling at them, because it acknowledges them as a person, it acknowledges them in a happy way, and then made them feel like they are loved or cared for. And so when you walk down the street or you were in a shopping mall or in church or at some event, don't be embarrassed or shy to just give a nod, a smile, or a hello or hi to somebody to just show your Christian Catholic love for each other. All right, let me go to another quote, and this is from St. Francis de Sales regarding faith. It's for February 9th. It says, great occasions for serving God come seldom, but little ones surround us daily. Great occasions for serving God come seldom, but little ones surround us daily. So we may have actually little occasions to help us serve God. And that comes many times during the days whether it be washing the dishes instead of mom washing the dishes, or throwing the trash out instead of, you know, mom or dad or somebody else doing that, or helping with things at home, whether that be the laundry or folding clothes or the garden. You know, these are things that the parents need help with that the kids should really just step in and assist. Also looking in at, you know, the just being in public, how can you go in and help people as far as feeding them at a soup kitchen or seeing a homeless person and praying with that person or offering them something to eat or giving a smile to them. These are many little occasions for serving God that comes to us. So we actually may not have the great occasion to be a martyr or the great occasion to evangelize thousands in a stadium, but we do have these little ways of serving God multiple times. All right, what about this other quote? This is a great one from St. Augustine. You might have heard this before, and it's regarding God's mercy, and this is for February 10th. It says, "There is no saint without a past, no sinner without a future." There is no saint without a past, no sinner without a future. So if you look at that, it's like, what saint doesn't have skeletons in their closet? I mean, at least there's one that I know of, right? It's the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph. But there's always sinners who always have future. In other words, for us sinners, we shouldn't despair and think like, woe is me, God will never forgive me, that my sins are unforgivable, that there is no future for me. All we got to do is look at the saints. And this will tie in later to the second reading that St. Paul talks about, because he was a great sinner before he became converted to the Catholic faith or was fulfilled as a Jew in finding his fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Okay, and the last quote I want to share is from St. Benedict. It's regarding work. It says, "He who labors as he prays lifts his heart to God with his hands. He who labors as he prays lifts his heart to God with his hands." So any of you who are out there working manual labor, those who may be carpenters or construction workers or whether you do gardening or cutting down trees or shoveling snow or doing any kind of mechanical work, that when you labor and you pray, you actually lift up your heart to God with your hands. So the time of your work actually is a time of prayer as well, if you labor and pray. But how can you do that? Oh, it's as simply as, let's say you're working with your hands and you're doing carpentry. You can think about the wood that you're using, that you can thank God for creating the trees, that here's a piece of wood that its life was given, so you can create your own masterpiece with this, whether it be a house that will last for decades or hundreds of years, or you can make a cabinet or what have you, and that will be in memory of what you did, but also it can help you remember that Christ himself died on the wood of the cross, and that he himself was a carpenter. He was a tecton. He was into technology, in other words, and he learned from his foster father, Joseph, on how to be a master craftsman. So when you start thinking about this, or thinking about like the Passion of the Christ, that little episode where it shows Jesus was working on a table, and he recalls just some of the memories about working in the past. And so, you know, this is how you can lift up your heart as you pray, as you work, I should say, you could be praying to God and just thanking him for all his magnificent creation, and that you too can partake in creation and make something great. All right, well, this ends the first section, or the first part of our program, segment called The Wisdom of the Saints. So let's move on now to the readings for this coming Sunday, February 11th. And the first reading is from Leviticus, chapter 13. And Leviticus, as you remember, it's regarding the different laws and also the Levites. That's where you get the word Leviticus. And so the reading goes, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'If someone has on his skin a scab or pustule or blotch, which appears to be the sore of leprosy, he shall be brought to Aaron, the priest, or to one of the priests among his descendants. If the man is leprous and unclean, the priest shall declare him unclean by reason of the sore on his head. The one who bears the sore of leprosy shall keep his garments rent and his head bare, and shall muffle his beard. He shall cry out, "Unclean, unclean." As long as the sore is on him, he shall declare himself unclean, since he is in fact unclean. He shall dwell apart, making his abode outside the camp." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Here, what strikes me is that the Lord, God himself, the divine physician, actually tells Moses and Aaron how to diagnose leprosy, right? Moses and Aaron, they weren't physicians. They were priests, right? Aaron was the priest. Moses was the prophet and spokesperson for God, and among other things. And the Lord, you know, said to Moses and Aaron, and goes on, it says, "If someone has on his skin a scab or pustule or blotch, which appears to be the sore of leprosy, he shall be brought to Aaron the priest," or one of the other priests that descended from Aaron. And so the Lord, as the physician, like, teaches Aaron and Moses dermatology in one sense, but he also teaches them a very important skill to help the community so they don't get sick, because this is also a public hazard to those in the temple. And so, of course, the Lord God wants to protect his people. And this shows that the Lord God, he didn't tell Moses and Aaron to go send them to the dock, to the doctor or physician or the nearest doc in the box, you know, go to urgent care or the local ER. He actually sends them to the priests. And so the priests were the ones responsible for have this dual role of being the priest and like a physician, because they had to make this diagnosis so then they could tell the person with leprosy, if they're really clean, to go and make a sacrifice so then he can rejoin the community. And so there would be a religious sacrifice for them to come back into the community. So leprosy was also looked at as if it was a spiritual sin, as if they did some sort of sin and they were punished by having leprosy. As we know in medical science, we know that it's not, right? There are the leprosy that you can contract this. This is really from the organism, just like you have the tuberculosis. Oh, you can, it's an infectious disease, and it's not necessarily from sin. So it's really, you can see from, it's a medical illness that was interpreted at that time to be a spiritual sin. However, this also, leprosy does symbolize spiritual sin, and gives us an example how to deal with spiritual sin as if it was leprosy. And so this is why it was important for the priest to bring back this person who essentially was excommunicated to a certain degree. They weren't able to be part of the community. And so they would actually have to identify their own self, and it would be so embarrassing to say out loud unclean and clean, or just show themselves, and people would avoid them, and they had to live in an encampment away from people. And how this is important is because sin is like a contagion. It contaminates the sinner and those he contacts. It destroys human relationships and then our ability to go to church. So you may see that if a person commits a sin, that they may not want to go to church anymore. They start avoiding people in church, or that they will avoid other relationships who, avoid people who are not in sin. They want to just hang around other people who commit sin, which then coincides with that quote I said earlier from St. John Bosco, that he advises people to fly away from bad companions, just like you would try to get away from a poisonous snake because you're scared of being bitten by them. So whereas if you keep with good companions, then most likely you will be with those good companions in heaven, whereas the bad companions are most likely the ones who are going to go to hell, and unless, of course, they repent. So this is the thing where sin is a spiritual leprosy. And so some people may not realize that, well, you know, someone may say, well, I didn't kill or steal, you know, from anybody, so I'm a good person. But that doesn't necessarily is the only criteria. As I said earlier, what about the first three commandments of not having other false gods, keeping the Sabbath day holy, and not using God's name in vain? How easy it is for some of us to say God's name in vain and to swear and use his name in vain as if it wasn't holy. Remember, in January was dedicated to the holy name of Jesus, whereas this month it's dedicated to the passion of our Lord. So if anybody breaks like the third commandment knowingly, willingly, and knowing that it's a serious sin and does it anyway, then they're subject to the judgment where God may view that as a mortal sin, where they're saying God's name in vain. And remember the apparition of Our Lady of La Salette, and this happened in France. I think it was 1846, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere around there, where why she came here was because people were breaking the second and third commandment, meaning not keeping the Sabbath day holy and using God's name in vain. So some people may think, well, I don't kill or steal, so I'm a good person. Well, yeah, you are. But at the same time, we have to compare ourselves not with the worst sinners, but with the best saints. So you have to look at those who are the best is what you want to aspire to, not want to just be like or try to be better than those who are the worst. Take, for instance, this weekend is Super Bowl weekend, right? When people want to be a professional football player, you don't want to look at the worst players who never made it to the NFL. You want to look at the best players and try to be like them, whether that be Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, or you look at, you know, Christian McCaffrey for the 49ers. You look at the best and try to be like the best. Now, if that's what our society looks at, the best athletes or the best singers or actors or celebrities, in the same way, we too should look at the best of the best in the Catholic faith, not look at the worst, such as those priests who who didn't fulfill their duties as priests. We should look at the saints, like the doctors of the church, such as Thérèse Lisieux and others, who not only fulfilled their life here as servants of God and heroes of virtue, but actually surpassed it in great ways. Well, we're at the bottom of the hour right now, and so let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about the rest of the readings for this coming Sunday. So hang on, and we'll be back after the break.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air. No doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns. And we are continuing the second half of the program, where we were just talking about leprosy as we were reading it in the book of Leviticus and how people had to go to the priest to get permission to come back into the community and also worship in the temple. One other thing that I wanted to add regarding this is that we were talking about the commandments as well, that leprosy symbolizes sin, or that sin is also a spiritual leprosy. The other thing that I wanted to contrast was I gave you the examples of how easy it is to break the second or third commandment, meaning not keeping the Sabbath day holy and saying God's name in vain. And so if we don't keep the Sabbath day holy, that's as easy as specifically not going to Mass for no good serious reason. For instance, if a person's very sick, of course they're excused from going to Mass. And also if they're like in the hospital and such, or they're visiting a place and they're way out in the country where there is no church available for them to go to Mass, that's a different scenario, right? Or there's a storm that they're not able to go. That's different from somebody who's just wants to sleep in and not want to go to Mass, and that's the last Mass available, and they don't go to it. Now, the other thing is I wanted to contrast it to is the venial sins. Some people think that, oh, this is just a small sin of having a white lie here or there, or saying certain curse words and not saying God's name in vain, or looking at things where they're not supposed to look at, or taking things from work that may not cost a lot of money, but it's being taken, you know, as a petty theft. Well, if you take all these together, these venial sins are like little wounds that just pile up. So, for instance, if a person gets many wounds on their hands or their feet, it gets to a point where those many little wounds or venial sins, let's say, can get infected, and the infection itself can spread to the rest of the body, and which could kill. So although venial sins does not kill the soul, the venial sins, many of them together, may add up to the point where it will then lead to a mortal sin, and it's equivalent to like one mortal sin. So the same thing with many little sores can add up to enough wounds that a person can die from. And imagine somebody gets shot multiple times in their hands, their arms, their legs, their shoulders, but it doesn't hit a vital organ. They can actually die from bleeding out too much from all these different places. It may not have hit their heart, their lung, their brain, their liver, you know, but if it hits their leg and it just keep on bleeding, well, the person can die from hemorrhaging. Same thing with the venial sins. If you have too many of them, it also can cause spiritual death. So let's move on now to the Psalms. The part that I wanted to share just briefly, this is from Psalm 32. And the response says, I turn to you, Lord, in time of trouble, and you will fill me with the joy of salvation. The part that I actually wanted to address was verse 3 and 4. Surprisingly, for these Psalms, it wasn't included for the Psalms. You know, and this is where I wanted to point out that for whatever reason it wasn't included, that it's always good to go to the original text and read like what's before the excerpt and after, and also what's inside those quotes or inside those verses. And this particular psalm, the verse 3 and 4 is very telling. It says, it talks symbolically of the disease of leprosy. It says, because I kept silent, my bones wasted away. I groaned all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength withered as in the dry summer heat. So what I wanted to bring out with these verses that was missing from the psalm was that it to emphasize the part where it says, because I kept silent, my bones wasted away. And this is a good way to show the effects of leprosy, that leprosy just makes your skin and your body waste away, specifically your face. And if a person keeps silent and doesn't ask for help, they can die sooner than later. And especially when a person, as we'll see in the gospel, if that person didn't cry out for help to the Lord, he would be just like what this psalm says. If he kept silent, his bones would waste away and he would wither away. So the key point is, if leprosy is an example of spiritual sin, or symbolizes spiritual sin, then we too have to reach out and call for help. Don't be silent about it. So if you have a silent sin, in other words, if you have a problem with drinking or taking drugs or pornography or self-abuse or gambling or adultery or fornication, name your sin or name whatever the seven capital deadly sins or capital sins, or you know, greed or gluttony or envy, you name it, or anger, that you have to call out to God. Now, what I'm not suggesting is like publicly sharing that with people. You might want to do that, but this is what's so great about confession. When you go into the box, quote unquote, you're there and you have the confidentiality and the guarantee that the priest will not tell people what you confessed, and that you can be guaranteed that as long as you're contrite and you're sorry for your sins, you will be forgiven by God of your sins through the help of the priest. So don't, in other words, don't be silent. Make sure you go to confession and speak what you did wrong, and God, who is merciful and loving, will forgive you. All right, so let's go to the next reading, which is from Corinthians. It's a short one. So St. Paul talks to the people of Corinth, that's in Greece, and he says this. He says, "Brothers and sisters, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Avoid giving offense, whether to the Jews or Greeks or the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in every way, not seeking my own benefit, but that of the many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, well, let me just clear up real quick here. St. Paul is not bragging about himself. He's not this narcissistic guy. He says, look at me, I'm the best of the best, better than everybody. Just follow me. No, what he's actually given the example of is our Catholic belief that we should follow imitators of Christ. So we're trying to follow Jesus, but we also look at the best of the best, the humans who actually are able to follow what Christ commanded us, to love God, to love neighbor, to establish the kingdom, to spread the kingdom, to preach the gospel, all those good things the Lord shared in his gospel, that St. Paul was the one who was able to emulate and follow this. So he's giving us a good example. It's, again, like the example I said, it's going to be the Super Bowl this weekend, and you might see programs or little vignettes about these great athletes and how they made it to this world famous stage of the Super Bowl. And they will maybe show how they did it, overcoming a lot of obstacles or injuries and pain and suffering. Look at that story about Brock Purdy, the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, how he was the last person chosen, number 262 out of all the college graduates. He was the last chosen and given the humiliating name as he was like the least likely to be chosen, and he was somehow through the injury of one of the other starting quarterbacks was able to he was Mr. Irrelevant, now came to my mind, that he was now considered to be the backup, and then now he led the 49ers to the Super Bowl. And he does have a relationship with God. He's a Christian, and he's very public about that. But here is somebody who overcame. And so this actually gives an example to those who have little hope of actually making it to a world stage as the Super Bowl or being a starting quarterback for a great team. So you can be chosen last, but be considered the first. So that's what God also promises, right? The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And here's an example of Brock Purdy, the quarterback, number 13, for the 49ers. So as far as the second reading, again, St. Paul is not trying to brag about him. He's just showing that if he can do it, remember, he was an enemy of the church, where as a Jew, he was extricating Catholics, I'm imagining breaking down the doors, getting the women and children, and having them persecuted to the point of death. And he was on his way in Damascus, ready to go arrest some more Catholics, until Jesus then blinded him for 3 days, but, told him, said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" So he didn't say, Jesus didn't say, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting my followers?" Jesus took it personally because the church is his body. He's the head, the Blessed Mother's the neck, and the church is the body. And so when St. Paul was injuring members of the body, he was injuring our Lord Jesus Christ. This is, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Jesus wasn't exaggerating. He was telling the spiritual, mystical truth that Paul was doing wrong. And so Paul was able to overcome that through God's grace after his 3 days of darkness about being blinded. And then he had his eyes restored again, and then took some time in the desert before he met with the apostle James and others before he got into circulation and preaching the gospel. Anyway, so the other part that I wanted to explain here is it says, Paul is saying, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Avoid giving offense. So let's take this weekend. It's a big, you know, Super Bowl weekend. It's taking place, I think it was in Las Vegas, which another name for that is Sin City, right? So think about it. When Paul is saying, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Avoid giving offense. So that means even things that seem inconsequential, like eating or drinking. So when you go to a restaurant or when you're even eating at home, do you even say grace? Do you thank God before you eat for the food? Maybe you do. What about doing it even better by thanking God after praying or after eating your dinner? So, and then what about, it says, whatever you do, give glory to God. So let's say you are cheering for a team, or you're out in the pub, or you're out in a restaurant. Are you going to be cursing or swearing or getting drunk or being gluttonous? It says, St. Paul says, avoid giving offense. Are you going to be argumentative with people who are not in the same mindset as you or look the same way? And so this is why he says, try to please everyone in every way, not seeking my own benefit or your own benefit, but those of the many. So in other words, love God and love neighbor. Put yourself last relative to everybody else. So, and that's why St. Paul is trying to say, he actually proved it. So he's not only did he talk the talk, but he walked the walk. And so this is the same thing when you see athletes. They don't want to talk the talk. They want to show you that by the way they walk the walk or the way they'll play the game about who is better. So the same thing here too, even though Paul is using words to tell us to follow him, which he follows Christ, we too should also walk the walk. And so if you're out in the restaurant, don't be ashamed to make the sign of the cross and to say grace. And when you pray and thank God for the food and the drink, also thank him for being with your friends, being with your family, and that we're able to enjoy in this great country of ours something that's really, you know, fun and exciting, or at least those who like football will think of it as fun and exciting. Anyway, let's go to the gospel now of Mark, chapter 1. A leper came to Jesus and kneeling down begged him and said, if you wish, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, I do will it. Be made clean. The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. He said to him, see that you tell no one anything, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for yourself cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them. The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So here it is, you know, that a leper came to Jesus. So this leper was not silent. He came and showed Jesus his wounds, his leprosy, and he actually knelt down in front of Jesus, and he invoked Jesus and petitioned him and said, if you wish, you can make me clean. So he had the faith and he had the belief that Jesus has the power. And notice that Jesus had pity. The other word for pity, or the other way to translate it, is Jesus had mercy. He had a merciful heart, misericordia. He had a merciful heart, which is has pity. Not that he was looking down at him as like look at you, you're nothing, you're like your face is marred or you committed some sin. No, he wasn't looking down at him. His heart was filled with mercy to the point that Jesus wasn't scared and backed off, like, oh, I may get sick, I may get this disease. No, Jesus actually stretched out his hand and touched him. He wasn't scared of getting the disease or later on touching other people when he just touched this leper that he's going to get his apostles or other people sick. Nope. What he did, he had the power to reverse it, and he actually said, I do will it. Be made clean. So God willed it. Jesus willed it. And he actually said the word be made clean. And the word be is exactly the same words that he used when he said, let there be light. When he created things, he used the word be. And so this is not just some trivial point or, you know, word that I'm bringing up. Jesus himself uses exact words to recreate anew this person. So we too, when we come to confession or we go to God and we ask, Lord, if you wish, you can make me good again, or you can forgive me, or you could help me defeat this sin or what sins or whatever you're dealing with. And the Lord will have pity on you. He will have mercy on you. And he will stretch out his loving hands and touch you through the loving hands of the priest or the motion of the priest making the sign of the cross over you. And that he will clean your very heart and soul. And sometimes the sicknesses that we have are actually due to spiritual sins. I mean, look at some of the examples where the devil threw down people in the form of seizures, but it was really that they were possessed by the devil, but it manifested itself as a disease, as a seizure. And so the Lord did this. He willed it. Also knowing the future, that even though he told this guy, like, don't tell other people, okay? It's called the messianic secret. In other words, it was the secret that the Messiah wanted this quiet for now. And the reason why he, you know, some of the thoughts why he wanted this quiet or not letting people know was, first of all, it wasn't his time yet. He didn't want to incite people to think that he came here to be their king or their warrior king. That wasn't his mission. And so he wasn't trying to get them interested in that, or he didn't want them just to come and look and see out of curiosity about miracles. He didn't want this to be like some circus, just come and look at me, how great I am, I can do these miracles by just saying the word. And that's what he did. He just used words. He didn't use any medicine. Whereas we doctors would have some antibiotics, some medicine for this, whereas Jesus just uses his words. And so this is where he was telling the people, telling this leper, not to tell other people, but yet he healed the man, knowing full well in the future this man was going to go disobey God and spreading the word about Jesus. So now Jesus had to hide from all the people searching him out as a curiosity or who may want to make him king or to overthrow the Romans. But Jesus also wanted to follow the law, as we read in Leviticus, that when he healed this man, he wanted to make sure that the man would follow the prescription as God the Father prescribed to Moses and Aaron. So Jesus said to the leper to make sure you go to the priest and he's going to be like the doctor to examine you, but at the same time tell you the spiritual prescription and make a sacrifice so you can get back into the church and also get back with the community. So this is what Jesus wanted to do. He wanted to fulfill the law, but also wanted to avoid any kind of popularity at this point, because his mission was to spread the good news, to build the kingdom, to proclaim the kingdom, set the captives free, and heal people, among other things. And so this is the other thing where, as far as leprosy, what I wanted to say is that this disease, what it likes to do is to attack the skin, which is the largest organ of the body, but in particular tries to deform the face. And so if you think about this as an analogy to sin, that the devil likes to attack our whole body and especially deface us, so we will not look at Jesus' face or want people to look at our face. Because of the sin that we've done, that we maybe shame the face and turn away from God and not look at him because of the sin, the spiritual sin on us that is contagious. And so this is why we have to be thankful for the Lord for confession, that he can restore us in an instant, but we cannot be silent. We have to have the courage, the humility to go to the priest and ask for forgiveness, and we will get that because the priest is the representative of God, and that God will be able to forgive us of all our sins. Just make sure you're sorry for it and that you go to God and ask. And so, again, when this person disobeyed Jesus, Jesus ended up being a celebrity, and he didn't really want this. He wanted to preach in the synagogues, and he didn't want the attention on the miracles per se. He wanted people to learn the teachings, but then all these people wanted to mob him because they were curious and wanted a miracle for them. And so hopefully this guy who was cured didn't also want to do that just so he can get popular. And sometimes this is the temptation of people when they go try to get healing, whether they go to a faith healer or they go to a priest or they go to a site like Lourdes or Fatima or asking for help or healing or venerate a relic. It's one thing to be healed from diseases, that physical, mental, emotional, but the key thing is, the main thing is to be healed spiritually. And that is available to all of us. Every weekend or every midweek, we can go to confession and be spiritually healed, which is way better than any physical healing, because though people can still go to hell with a totally healthy body, even though they died. I mean, as a doctor, we've seen people who actually had, they looked like they had perfect health, but they ended up dying. An example is a car accident, right? They were perfectly healthy, and they got in a car accident, motorcycle accident, a gunshot. They were just innocent bystanders, but they still died. So what was more important, being really healthy, going to the gym all the time, and having your soul dirty from sin and their soul dead? Or would it be better, actually, your soul is fully alive in grace, in friendship with God, but maybe you may be blind in one eye or blind in both eyes, or you're crippled or you're having a stroke or something. Remember Jesus said better for a person to enter heaven with only one hand or one arm or one leg, or go to hell with everything healthy. So in the same way, it's best to be clean of heart, mind, and soul, rather than our body. We want both, of course, but again, just something to think about. Anyway, I'm really thankful for you all, those who stuck with me this whole hour. Thank you for listening to me and the commentary that I shared here from different sources. Thank you for WTMR and Inside Catholic Radio. I hope you continue to join me every Thursday here on WTMR 800 AM and in his Sign Catholic Radio. And so God bless you all. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo signing off.